We're continuing on about some couples in the Bible, and if you got your handouts, you can follow the way through there. We're looking at Ruth and Boaz, a very encouraging couple. Not that all things are encouraging. There's much beauty, though, in the story, and we see this foreign girl that comes out of paganism and an idolatry, but she comes to trust the Lord, and so we'll try to pick up a few things as we make our way through. We won't do certainly an exhaustive study of the book, nor even of the couple, but trust that we'll be blessed. And so this outline has some of, as the others have come from some different sources, and then I just try to fill in, and it's a wonderful thought to think about this couple that we look at tonight, Ruth and Boaz. I want us to think about, as we get started, though, I want you to look at chapter 2, verse number 12. This won't be in the lesson there that you've got, but we see this beautiful imagery, this beautiful words that I did not realize. I've read it many times, of course, but until I was getting ready for this, the Bible says, "The Lord recompense thy work," repay, get those things back, "and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." This is talking to about Ruth here. But then the next phrase, what really stuck out, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so you remember now, this is after she told her mother-in-law that I'm going to go where you go, thy people, my people, I'll lodge where thou lodgest, and thy God, my God, all of those wonderful words that sometimes we'll hear at weddings and whatnot. But we see here as Boaz is summarizing what she's done, says, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." And what a wonderful thing, somebody who comes from outside the faith but latches on to the faith of Jehovah God. Just an exciting thing that I thought about as I was looking through getting ready for this evening. But I want you to look back at chapter 1, verse number 16, and we'll see those beautiful verses that again, sometimes you'll hear at weddings and sometimes you'll hear about couples. This is not a marriage passage. This is from a lady to her mother-in-law, the mom of her deceased husband. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." This is a wonderful commitment she's making. You understand that the Old Testament saints would not have had all of the thoughts that we do. Wow, we may go to heaven, and they were going to talk about the earth that they were going to rule and reign over. And so as she's making these statements to her mother-in-law, she's saying that I'm willing to sign on to the God that you're trusting in. Now, I always think about Naomi. She was not a very good example, I don't think. Of course, you look down at verse number 18, and she is responding to what Ruth had said. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She gave her the silent treatment. She just quit talking. And Scripture says, later down a few verses, when the people come to Naomi and they're telling her all the things that they're excited about, and she says, "Don't call me Naomi anymore, but call me bitter," which Mara meant bitter. And she said, "Call me Mara," which means bitter, I should say, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Verse number 21, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then shall you call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returneth out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And so this is going home for Naomi. This is going to a new land for Ruth. And so I often chuckle and think about the lady that Ruth had signed on with is not giving her that good of a testimony, but nonetheless, the Lord uses her in the way that she's putting forth there her life. But we see that this relationship, Ruth and Boaz, that's what we're going to get to. That's what the lesson's about this evening, and I want to dive into it with us. But we see that it teaches this lesson of protection and God's guidance, His providential hand. But it also teaches about she needed a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, meaning somebody in her family. She needed him to physically take care of her needs as now a widow, and he's going to be a mediator. And Boaz does just that. And as he does this, he represents the Lord in our lives as well, because we needed that redeemer also. So as we get started in here, and you've got some notes there that you can fill in, some blanks if you choose to. Why don't you look at chapter 2, verse number 5. We're going to see where Boaz has his heart won by the actions of Ruth. Then said Boaz unto his servant, "What that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" And so most of you know the story. Ruth comes back from Moab with her mother-in-law. And it's, as the Bible says there in verse number 22, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. And the way that these couple of ladies were going to survive was that the kindness of somebody. And so Ruth sends her, Naomi sends her to some kinfolk, some family, some relatives. And so Naomi, verse number 1 of chapter 2, had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean and field and the gleaners of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." So that's the story. This is what's happening. But as she's out there and she's gathering this barley, she's gathering the grain, she's going to take it home and they'll thresh that out and they'll do the things with it that they need to make their living. But we see that something else happens in verse number 5 that we already looked at, that Ruth is winning the heart of Boaz by her actions. Now, he would have obviously historically been somebody that was pretty much a catch. There would have been ladies around that would have been, maybe the society folks would have wanted to have their daughter married off to Boaz, but Boaz is caught, even though the eligible bachelor there is, the girls that may be wanting to catch his attention don't. But instead, his heart is pricked and his attention is drawn to this young lady, Ruth. And so she works in the field of Naomi's family, of Naomi's husband's family. And God brings Ruth to his attention. But we see down in verse number 11, if you look down there, that Boaz, he takes note of something, and he takes note of the attention that she's playing to her family and the devotion. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me that all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law, since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of the nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And then he says, "The Lord recompense me. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel." And so he's casting some good words on her. But what I want you to see in verse number 11 is that he takes note of her devotion. You understand that this is what really matters in the life of a relationship. It's sad that our society is so hung up on looks and what the people can perform or give to you in the way that they appear. Because the sad part about that is that that won't stay that way. You'll have some that will keep it longer than others, but you won't have them stay very long that way. As the old saying goes that I've mentioned before, the Incredible Hulk becomes the Incredible Bulk eventually. He just kind of goes all to pot, as they say. The fellow said that he got the furniture disease, that his chest fell down into his drawers. He kind of widened out in the wrong spot. One fellow I was listening to him preach the other day, and he says, "All got all three, bunions, bulges, and bifocals." And so you understand that things don't always stay like that good, handsome, or good, beautiful person that you said, "Oh, love at first sight." Now, I think he did have a little bit of love at first sight, but there should be something that's much more than just the looks, because looks and lust that we are so known for in our society right here, unfortunately, it is going to leave. And so there needs to be something more of substance. So Ruth wins the heart of Boaz, but she does it by her actions, because he says, "Yeah, I've heard all about how you left your family, how you've been faithful to your mother-in-law. I know why you're here. Yes, to get some food for you, but you're going to get enough for you, but enough for her. You are an honorable person," basically, is what he is saying. And so I challenge all young people. There's some folks getting married around here, and they've been getting married last year or so. And I remind them that it is so important that we look at the character of somebody, not just the outward appearance, because those things, although nice to have, and you've got to have some of that initially, I suppose, or you don't look a second time, but you have some of that, but it's certainly not what needs to be built on. It needs to be built on character. So Ruth, that's how Ruth wins the heart of Boaz. But I want you to look on down. Boaz goes from just looking, saying, yes, I noticed that girl. And not only did I notice her look, she was, I'm sure, fair to look upon, but I noticed her character. But then he wants to go more and do that. He wants to redeem her. Now, this is hard for us in our society to even understand, because somebody would just say, well, I'll get an apartment, I'll get a job, I'll be rough for a while. But a lady will say, well, I'll just make it all happen. And it's able to do. But in that culture, would have been a very difficult thing to do. And so we see that she is fallen to the kindnesses of somebody. And Boaz is going to be that somebody. Verse 11 of chapter 3. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Again, back to the fact that he's picking up the things. You know, he doesn't say, well, you're really great to look at. You're really a beauty. You're really this. He says, all the society, they know that you're a virtuous woman, somebody who has got the virtue. Look down at verse number 12. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, the family. I'm kinfolk. I'm your family. Probably her father-in-law's cousin. And many different folks said probably the nearer kinsman would have been probably the father-in-law's brother, possibly. Somehow they're a little bit closer, but Boaz would have probably been the cousin to Elimelech. And so we see that in verse 12, it's true, I'm thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. But Boaz has this desire. He wants to redeem her. He wants to give that service, so to speak. Verse number 15. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. This is getting to the end of the day, and hold it. And when she had held it, she measured out 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, that she, and she went into the city. And so I'm looking here in this part that he's desiring to redeem her, yes, but there's another part of what he's desiring to do, and that is to care for her. He desires to care for Ruth. It was back in chapter 2, verse number 8, back there as well. But here we see a great reference to it in verse number 15. He says, I've got you taken care of. Bring that veil, bring that material, and I'm going to load it down. And so he desires to care for her. But then he decides to do something, or wants to, not decides, but he wants to do something also. He wants to go the right order. He's taking care of her needs, and he tells his reapers, just leave plenty, give your handfuls on purpose, and he's taking care of her all the way through. He's taking care of her physical needs. But now he gets down to this part that a lady was in very much need in that society to have somebody that would speak up and take care of her, and Boaz wants to be that person, but he wants to do it the right way. Look at chapter 3, verse number 12. As I mentioned, he says, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Apparently, it was a little bit that love at first sight. Apparently, it was that he wanted to redeem her. He wanted to marry her. He wanted to do all of these things. But there was something he wanted to do more than get with the girl. He wanted to follow the right order. And so that speaks, what he saw her, that spoke good of her character. What he that showed off to her speaks of his character. So these are a good pair. These are the ones, she's got character because she's taking care of the things that she's supposed to take care of. But he has, because he doesn't try to rush into things. Chapter 4, verse number 4. We find him now that he goes away from Ruth and he goes over to talk to the one that's nearer kinsman than he is. Verse number 4 of chapter 4. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, the land of her dead husband and the family there. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. So Boaz, verse number 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And so he's laying it on thick here to this fellow that's a little closer. He says, you're not just going to get that field, you're also just going to become this lady, and you may not want that. And so he lays it all out there. But we see that he wants to follow the proper order in things. In verse number 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. But then I want you to look at the next phrase, redeem thou my right to thyself. So take my privilege, take what I deserve and I'm giving it to you, for I cannot redeem it. So Boaz says, yes, this is what I wanted all along. But I had to go through the right order. And, you know, we wouldn't follow a situation like this. Also, if you think that's strange, you wait till you get down through there and where they take off the shoe and that's the way they make the vow. And all of you have read the story before. That gets strange, but there's just some techniques they did back in that day. But we see that he's got this desire to redeem Ruth. He wants to, but he tells her, and I want to. I admire your character, but there's something that I need to do before. And I would challenge all of us, not that we're most of you in this room are not looking to get married. You're already married, so quit looking. You're done. She became Mrs. Wright, or he became Mr. Wright. As soon as you got married, say, yeah, but I think I made a mistake. Well, too late, buddy. Like that one fellow said, I didn't know what happiness was until I got married. It was too late. But you've got... You are with the right one. Well, he knew that he wanted to be with this one, but he wanted to follow the right order more than he wanted what he wanted. And so he wants to follow God's way. And so he desires that. And then it comes to that place where the person says, no, that's my right to do it. But if I do that, then I'll mess up the line that I've got going here. So have my blessings. And then there was a ceremony there that that he was allowed to. And it was noted that he was giving away his right to do that and his responsibility. So Boaz takes that responsibility and says, I'm willingly going to do that. And of course, we know the story. They get married and then here they are. In God's will. So once you look at the next point that we're seeing here, there's a lady that assumed that she would never be accepted. She assumed when she left her homeland to go with Naomi, she didn't say, bring me, maybe I can find somebody else. And Naomi had already made it very clear, I don't have any more boys and I'm not having any more children. And Ruth went assuming, from what we can tell, that she was just going to be a help to her mother-in-law, not expecting for life to flourish for her again. And so it's a lot bigger deal when she said, I'm going to go where you go. Your land's going to be my land. It was a lot bigger deal than what we make it out to be. But lo and behold, God has greater plans for her than she has for herself. And then Boaz comes on the scene. And now we see that Boaz and Ruth continue the line of King David, chapter 4, verse number 17. We're looking all the way toward the end of the book, and we see here, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Which David? King David. And so we see them that Ruth is the great-grandmother of David. And so here she is in the King David and the line, the kingly line, the one that everybody would have loved to have been in. And so here we have this lady from Moab and the one that's a foreigner that doesn't know God in the land of idolatry and the land of false gods, but she chooses to follow the lead of Naomi and follow the God of Naomi, and God puts her in the kingly line of King David, of course, obviously through the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so here we have that Ruth being this wonderful example of God overcoming the great difficulties that we have. And I wrote there Matthew chapter 1, if you want to look at it sometime, it says, Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And so it's an amazing thing that we see this couple, they follow God's will and they do what's right. They cross the T's, they dot the I's, unlike many of us try to do. We know we see a good deal out there. Maybe it's a deal in business or maybe it's something out here. And we know it's a little bit shady, but we think it's so good that we want to pounce upon it. We ought to take lessons from Ruth and from Boaz and say that I want to do all of the checking and double checking. I would rather have God's blessings on something that I don't think is so flashy than have something so flashy and say, wow, it's got to be, I don't want to check it out anymore. And I don't want you to raise your hand on this, but how many of you answer to yourself, you have stopped looking at something because you thought, man, this sounds wonderful, and you didn't want to find out anything negative about it. I have. And I challenge you, my friend, don't be so silly or so naive. We ought to make sure that we, like Boaz, that we check everything out for God's glory and so that he can lead us and guide us. And so we see that Boaz and Ruth, they continue the line of King David. Let me give you this last one. We see in chapter 4, verse number 13, that Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in under her, the Lord gave her conception. And in that day, not that everybody had children, of course, but it was a great sign of the blessings of God when he would bless the union with children, gave her conception, and she bare a son. Ruth's pain was surpassed by Boaz's love. So the pain that she had was looking way back. Now, the story could have went on that God would have never given them children. That would have been, God was in his right to do whatever he wanted to, but he not only gave him a child, but he put that child, of course, in the kingly line of David. But just as a sign of application, Ruth finds joy after she follows God in what he wants to do, what he wants her to do. But he not only brings joy to Ruth's life, but he also brings joy to other people. You see in verse number 15, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. This is the women of the day, the women of the area saying unto Naomi here, he shall be a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid in her bosom and became the nurse unto it. So joy was brought to other people as well. Ruth got to cheer that mother-in-law. And so when that mother-in-law, I think about her being this negative Nelly or negative Naomi in this instance, because she's the one that said, don't call me anymore Naomi. I was once a pleasant person, because that's what Naomi means, pleasant or delightful. She says, I used to be that, or I might have been that, but don't call me anymore that. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And how many of you know there's some people around you and around me, they're around everybody, that sometimes it seems like they think there's a prize for being the negative one. They're just unhappy about things. And that's that person that says, man, praise the Lord, look at this sunshine. Yep, it's going to rain tomorrow. You want to tell that person, well, just enjoy the sunshine today. Man, didn't it feel great out there? Yeah, but it's going to be cold later. Yeah, but just enjoy now. Boy, yeah, in this sunshine, yeah, I'm gonna get sunburnt. They always find something negative about things. And so Naomi was brought joy by Ruth, but I think she drug her kicking and screaming, because we just see it again and again that she says, call me Mara, don't call me that. I went out happy, but I came back in bitter. And she's the one, as I said, that gave the silent treatment to her after she figured out that Ruth wasn't going to leave her alone. She quit talking to her. Somehow that became a good way to show your anger. Just quit talking, left speaking. Regardless of all that, Ruth finds herself overcoming those things and brings joy to Naomi. And so Ruth's pain was not only surpassed, her pain was not only surpassed, give herself joy, but also giving joy to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so I just couldn't help but, as we were looking at these couples in the Bible, draw another one out from Ruth and Boaz, because there's so many sweet, sweet lessons in this. Now, that by no stretch covers that whole book, but it is a beautiful book, only four chapters. I challenge you after tonight that maybe you read those and look at some wonderful things, the way the Lord worked in those. But let's take the lesson of this as I leave it to you. We go back to Boaz, seeing what he wants. He sees the young girl. He says, oh, I've seen you. I've noticed you out there. But I've always been impressed how he didn't just try to twist and get his agenda taken care of. Instead, he said, there is something we should do. We need to check this out. We need to make sure it's right. Now, certainly he may have put it on a little thick when he told that guy, said, you don't just got to do this. You got to get her. You got to get her. You got an old cow. You got to take that cow too. I don't know what all he told her. But he did do things the right way and made sure that it was his rightful time, because if he wanted to stand right before God, everything had to be right. Somehow it's amazing that we somehow think that we can trick God, only let him in on half the equation. You understand how odd that is and how strange that is, that we didn't illuminate God's mind about everything that we wanted to do, as if our motives weren't clear to him all along? I'm being facetious here because you can't hide anything from God, but I don't know about you, but I've prayed before and I've tried to plead my case and say, but God, if you allow this to happen, then this can happen and this can happen and this can happen, as if me leaving off some things tricked God into not noticing those things. What a foolish endeavor that was. But instead we see that Boaz is trying to cross those T's, make sure things are right. And then when he finds out they are right, so praise the Lord, I'll take her. Let's go. And we thank God for the lessons there. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you've given us some good insight into how we ought to live from some of your Bible characters, how they lived. And Lord, I pray that we might put those practices into work in our lives. And we're certainly grateful for what you've done. Now, here's the invitation. The Lays are coming. They're going to play. But here's the invitation, and that is this. Perhaps you've short-circuited some things before. I don't know. All of us have gotten that, been guilty before. But maybe you've short-circuited some things, and you ought to tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me to be upfront and forthright about everything that I go to do. Maybe you're here tonight, and there's some other need on your heart, something totally unrelated, but the Holy Spirit called your number out. I challenge you to do business with the Lord and make it right. Maybe you're here this evening not sure that you're saved. We never like to close a service without making appeal to you. If you're here not sure that heaven's your home, not sure that Christ is your personal Savior, in just a moment we'll stand. I want you to come. Maybe there's some other need you have. Maybe you need to be baptized, join the church, whatever God's dealt with your heart about. This is a Wednesday night, but it's a wonderful time to do anything that God has led you to do. I'm going to ask you if you would stand together as the ladies play. Brother Nathan's going to come lead us in this old song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, this chorus from some years back, and His righteousness. And I trust there'll be a blessing as we follow the Lord. If He's speaking to your heart, you come.
Seek Ye First.
Tonight, Lord, thank you for the time to gather around it. I pray that you've spoke to our hearts. I trust that, dear Lord, you've made it very real to us. And I pray we'd go out of here with your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you talked to a couple people on your way out. May God bless you. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. You're dismissed.